It influences our decisions and so on and so forth, and it makes us who we are. Yet scientifically, spirit is completely invisible. I mean, as far as you can't really lay your finger on it. Only other spiritual things can touch on spirit type things. Meaning, I mean, within the spirit of a man, like a psychologist can investigate the spirit of a man, but he does it by spiritual means of psychology. In fact, psychology, psyche is where you get the word spirit from. It's the study of spirit type things. Now, as opposed to being the spirit of God and spirit body, see, the word spirit is kind of thrown around. I mean, it's like, it could mean a ghost. It could mean everything from a ghost to what God is. It could mean everything between psychology and then the things of the spirit, which are not of the things of man. So you have the wisdom of man over here. It's a spiritual thing. But it is not a spiritual thing in the Christian sense. Meaning when we talk about spiritual things, they talk about carnal things. Carnal slash spiritual versus spiritual slash spiritual. Again, it may be somewhat confusing, but I'm sort of ranting on this because I'm learning something. And I hope by any means you might learn as well. Death is swallowed up in victory. So that is how death is swallowed up in victory, is when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption. That is a victory over death. Again, if eternal torture is the truth, then there is no victory over death, because death just is enshrined eternally in the eternal torture chamber, which is not a scriptural teaching. Though, like all heresies, it comes from the Bible. It comes from misinterpretation of the Bible. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Again, the law of the Old Testament? Yeah, well, also the law of every man. Every man has a law. They're a law to themselves. When someone, this is what popped into my head. Someone kicks you in the testicles, well, hey, I didn't like that. So you know it's not right to do that to your fellow man. Right? You shouldn't kick him there. Right? So when you do it, you know you're doing something wrong. So each man is a law to himself as well. Now some things man wouldn't know was sin without the law. And some, though there is a sort of instinctive knowing that, like, they're naughty. But maybe that's cultural. I'm willing to submit that there are some things that are only sins because God says so. Like in the Old Testament, there's lots of sins in the law that are absolutely no man would ever guess would be sinful if it weren't for the law. Like wearing garments made of two different kinds of cloth. Who would have guessed, right? Why is that sinful? Only because God says so. Thou shalt not eat of this tree. Now, how would you guess that it was wrong to eat of any tree? Except that it was poisonous, right? Like, you would know it was wrong. Like, let's say you saw old Bill eat out of a tree and you saw him dying. You said, I'll get old Fred to eat out of the tree because I hate old Fred. Now, you know you're sinning. But if you were to just walk up to a tree and eat it yourself, say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you wouldn't know it was a sin unless God said, you will not eat that tree. Even if the effects are to make you know good and evil, it would not be a sin. But now you have sinfulness anyways, because you would know good and evil on your own. But the first sin was disobedience. Nothing more. And after that, all kinds of sin came in, because you didn't have to sin after that transgression anymore. Now you know good and evil. Now you know the difference. So now, after the tree in the garden, all men could be a law to themselves. And that's why they did evil in the sight of God continually, because they knew what they were doing was wrong. And when the law came because of transgression, the real effect of the law was to make sin even more sinful, because now God had laid down the law, so to speak, to say, no, that is all sinful. And it made even more sins. That's why we don't follow the Old Testament law. Though I'll tell you, the New Testament law, though it has a lot more liberty, is much more strict. Much more strict in the areas of what is sinful and what is not. You have liberty to wear whatever kind of clothes you want to wear, whatever kind of food you want to eat, whatever days you want to worship God. He doesn't care about that. But now, it's not just of the outward thing of, you know, because all those things you could, those are easy. God took away a lot of the easy ones. You know, wearing clothes of one type is not that hard. You know, I mean, that's the easy stuff. Thou shalt not look on a woman to lust after her. That can be hard. Because it's one thing, hey, I won't touch another. I've been married a long time. I've never come close to adultery. Except when my eyes have gone astray. That's the only time I come near it. But in the New Testament, he says, that counts. Now that counts. So now we're put up this ultra high standard of righteousness. That what your eyes look at counts, you know, for what your flesh might do. The desires of your heart. The things going on within you now. Because before in the Old Testament, you could not commit adultery, but you could look all day. And you would technically be right. You through the loopholes in the law. You know, the law is filled with loopholes, meaning look but don't touch. Right? And Jesus railed against this because he hated it. They used the law and they made, you know, thou shalt not put away your wife. Well, they would find some way to put away their wife through loopholes in the law. And it became wickedness because that was even more wicked. Because though they would obey the letter of the law, they were really making the law void. Because the purpose of the law was not so much as just to get you to be a fake, but as to actually make you right in the sight of God. Which it could never do, but that was the stated purpose. He that does these things shall live by them. So, the way, the sting of death is sin. That's what makes death sting. Because sin. If you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. Dying a sinner stings, I tell you. And when those who are raised in the second resurrection stand before God to face the second death, which is just like the first death, except you don't get up again, because there's a one-to-one correspondence between the first death and the second death, except the second death is of the soul. The soul doesn't merely sleep, except that it goes into a, you know, sleep is different from death and that you get up again. That's why in the New Testament we speak of death as sleep, because the first death is like sleep. You get up again. The second death is not like sleep. But it is like death in the first death in that you are unconscious. But now permanently. And what makes that sting is sin.